Well, we come back to Micah chapter 5 this morning, and just to remind you that we have our Bible study material for Micah chapter 5, for groups and also for individuals. Just show of hands, just put up your hand if you are an individual. Yes, look, that one's for you. For those of you who are more into groups, they're there as well. I'd love to encourage you to get into the Bible week to week. And I guess one of the big pictures that, and words of comforting pictures that we have in the Bible is the picture of a shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus described himself as the good shepherd in John 10. And if you're familiar with those words, Jesus is talking about laying his life down for the sheep of his fold, and a shepherd that is coming to protect, to tend, to watch, to do them good, watching over their coming and going forever. And so when the flock is threatened by whatever, the shepherd is going to be there to protect. Our national security at the moment is pretty one of those big topics of discussion, isn't it? We know full well, if we're aware of what's going on in our world, that is a big, big question. No doubt for those in public office, it is one of the fundamental things that they're there for, to protect the citizens of the land. Well, we're only too familiar with things around the world that national security can be a disaster where there's little protection. So there's a map for you of Iraq and Syria, just to pick one example. Of course, where this ISIS threat stretches its tentacles, represented in the red section on the map. Closer to home, we saw all the pictures of the Lindt Cafe December last year. The threats going on there, really, really getting very close to home. But then, of course, there's the threat on our own lives as well. Maybe you are facing a threat right now in some way, an Assyrian-type threat breathing down your neck, as it were, threatening your very livelihood. Let me tell you a story about a time when I was threatened. I had gone into the Sydney with my mum and dad, friends of the family, George Street. We were going to watch a film in the Hoyts. And one Saturday afternoon, well, I nearly didn't make it because a gang of six youths, really big guys, probably as big as, I don't know, Dave, bigger guys, really huge, you know. There might have been more, actually, but they were big. A bit more like Jason, you know, but David's high, Jason's built. Big guys coming around. And anyway, I thought, this is it. Well, instinctively, my mother came behind the Osama bin Laden guy of the group, you know, and basically said, as a mother tigress does, you know, you lay a hand on my son and you won't see Wednesday. Something like that. Anyway. And the whole thing just sort of dispersed, and that was amazing. It isn't interesting, isn't it? When something is sort of... I'm still here today, isn't that good? Zeroing in on you, right? Something like that, massive, whatever it is, isn't it good that someone is going to step in and deal with it? Now, I wonder what sort of things are zeroing in on you this morning. Something massive, maybe. Something perhaps not as big, but still real for you just the same. Life's dramas do come and go, and is there someone capable of watching over you and knowing what's going on for you? And you knowing it as well, not just in here, but here. In your life, you know it, that he's watching over you. Well, if you're a family like mine, you know there are stacks of kids' CDs. I've lost count how many we've got. But one of the ones that I think is probably up there in our favourite category would be the Kids Pray CD, which basically is all the old hymns and kids are singing them. Now, they're absolutely beautiful, aren't they? The kids' hymns. And one of the ones that we love to sing is this one. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Saviour. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. You know the threats do come, and if they haven't yet, they will. Where are you standing, and where do you look? Do you know in your life that every promise is enough for every step that you take? Do you know the shepherd who rules, who he makes promises? And one of those great promises is that no threat, nothing in this entire universe is able to separate you from his everlasting love. Not even the threat of your own wretched sin for you who live in Christ Jesus. For this shepherd king did what? He came and he laid down his life for the sheep, and he won forgiveness for us. He paid sin's wages that we might be eternally secure. You see, how would God have a people for his son? How would his son have a pure and spotless bride? Well, come with me to Bethlehem Ephrathah. In Micah 5 verse 2, what does it say? But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans, out of you will come, notice what it says, out of you will come for me, the Lord says, for me who will be the ruler over Israel. This is the what the Lord said to the prophet Samuel, looking for a king. And he's Saul's on the way out. Let's find a new king. And this is what he says to the prophet Samuel. I have seen among Jesse's sons a king for myself. Where did he find him? Where did that incident take place in 1 Samuel 16? It was Bethlehem, David's hometown. And we know that with David, the Lord made an everlasting promise to have an everlasting kingdom. Well, now, Micah 5, it's sort of, 250, 300 years on. Assyria is the superpower, and they've come crashing into Judah, and they're about to overrun the nation's headquarters, Jerusalem. And the message in verse 1, we heard it read so wonderfully by Warwick, marshal your troops, Jerusalem, for a siege is laid against it. And Micah is including himself in the us, isn't he? We understand, at least from a distance, the siege idea. We understand how distressing a siege is. And here's Jerusalem, the mighty city of God. It's about to fall. And what about that promise of God to David? How does Micah handle that? You're looking at the wrong place. Friends, let me tell you something. You battle. You battle. If you are a Christian, you battle. That's how it is. And it seems at times that evil is winning the day. Just like Assyria marches in unstoppable. And don't you realise that the battle continues still to rage? Even in our own land it does it not? This beautiful land of ours in Australia. And I say to you, as our Assyrian comes breathing down our necks, baring its devouring teeth, and you know what that means for you this morning. I say to you, where are you looking? What did Micah say? Out of Bethlehem will come the Lord shepherd ruler for him. Who would have thought? Just 5-6 miles south of Jerusalem, those wise men thought, Jerusalem, saw the star, Messiah's come. They were wrong. Micah's saying he's coming out of that insignificant place, Bethlehem. And when Joshua brought the people into the land and conquested the land, there was the tribe of Judah, and he issued all the towns out to Judah. And guess what? Where was Bethlehem? Not even on the list. When I was about my daughter's age, Ellen, a man walked on the moon. The coverage, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It came through the observatory at Parkes, and that portrayed in that film, The Dish. Parkes. Who thought of it? Who heard of Parkes? And so the most momentous news ever attached to the promise of God's eternal ruler was coming from that most insignificant place, Bethlehem, the royal line. The promise wouldn't be wiped out. An unbreakable promise. A stubborn promise from the Lord. He says, for me will come an eternal ruler of divine origins. David's house on the brink of ruin, but God's also says the promise of a new David, for me, will come out of Bethlehem. And this is why, friends, it is so good to remember that in the battles and distressing times that you and I should face, his promises for us are stubborn ones. That you and I can stand on them no matter what the threat is going to come knocking at your door. Now, the beautiful thing, of course, is as the Lord makes this promise of a shepherd for himself, his people benefit. Yes, Micah describes this period of the Lord sort of handing over them to their oppressors, and the affliction is there, but it's limited. And we pick that up in verse 3, that little word, until. There's a time limitation there. They will be abandoned by God, and ultimately Jerusalem would fall, and Babylon would come in, and Nebuchadnezzar and his entourage, and they would go. The people would have to wait, and they would experience exile. They would return from that exile, and then they would wait. And in God's providence, Emperor Augustus decided that once it was time to get all the Jews to go to their hometowns, because he wants to work out how much taxation he's going to get for his empire. And all of that process happened when Mary was going to have a baby, her son. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Joseph's hometown. And what did Isaiah say about this one? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The rule of the shepherd over the flock, secure, standing as he does in the Lord's strength, in the majesty and the Lord's name. What does it say there in verse 4? They will live securely. Verse 5, he will be their peace. Notice the extent of the greatness. How far? To the ends of the earth. The mighty, triumphant, universal reign. And there's a hint there of the gathering of the nations to the shepherd's kings for one spiritual family, which we know, of course, coming to fruition as people put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save and rescue them. If Christ gathers you to himself, if he gathers you to be in his folds, there is everlasting security. People come to him when they believe the gospel, and yet, how important is it for the flock to be protected? There are threats. Micah's time, the Assyria, Babylon later on, invading the land, and just as the Lord would protect his own, and I think that picture in that passage of seven shepherds and eight rulers and with their swords there in verses 5 and 6 is a complete picture of protection that's coming for the Lord's people. And I think our sword today to wield, to use it to deal with the threats that come, is the word of God. He keeps his flock secure, and he raises up shepherds to protect and guard the truth, and to deal with things that undermine the truth, the things that come to erode faith of his flock. What is Micah saying here? He's saying that for many years, Israel is facing distressing times and being abandoned by God. But a new and greater David is coming to shepherd the nations who come. He will be their peace. He will be great throughout the earth. His kingdom will stand, for he will deliver them from every threat, Assyria from the land. Here is God's prophet, typical of all the prophets, presenting distant realities in a present tense form. Are we in the story? We are. We are. Our threats are real. The shepherd came for his flock. He has died. He has risen. He has been exalted. He is our eternal peace. Hope for the nations. Ruler from Bethlehem, once a babe in Bethlehem, now the Lord of history, our lasting security. What is the Assyrian on your doorstep? Do you face death? Do your days draw near? What do you fear? He is our lasting security, our shepherd king. Keep looking to him by faith. Keep hearing his word. His call on your life to follow him, he will bring you home. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Well, twice in verses 7 to 8, there's that little phrase, you might have picked it up, the remnant of Jacob. What does it say where they are, the remnant of Jacob? It says in verse 7, they're in the midst of many people. And they're among the nations. And what are they doing? Well, they're like dew from the Lord and like showers on the grass. We all know what that's like in Bittergong, don't we, first thing in the morning? It's a picture of blessing. It's a picture of bringing renewal of life. A picture of the shepherd using his people to revitalise, to have a beneficial influence on the nations. But there's another picture. It's the remnant of Jacob. Are among the nations, and they're like a lion among the beasts of the forest. Like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which mauls and mangles as it goes and no one can rescue. It's a different picture, isn't it? Blessing on the one hand, destruction on the other. We live in our communities of work, local, family, all our communities. Shall we make it our aim to bring blessing to those who are without Christ? Shall we encourage one another to engage in our culture? Shall we seek to make disciples of the nations? Shall we be the light of the world? Shall we have a loving concern to those in need? Shall we speak up about our concern in our nation that is under God's judgment? So you see the erosion of values and traditions that were once founded on biblical truth. A rejection of Christ. The attack on the church. Do you feel intimidated and weak thinking about all that? Well, look at verse 9. It says, your hand will be lifted up in triumph over your enemies. And all your foes will be destroyed. And as I take it, as we come to church week by week, we are speaking the truth in love to one another. We do that together. And surely we must do that in the cultures and the places that we live and work and breathe. The media, the internet, it brings up all the issues, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. What's the latest one? One of the latest ones, of course, is the push to redefine marriage. It's a good idea. Should we be concerned? Should we speak up about this as Christian men and women? Well, in the Mac update, I've written some things about it. Tuesday night, there's an opportunity to come and find out more about what we could say. Really think about these issues. As God's people, we are in the midst of many people. We are among the nations. And the Lord calls us to be like the dew and to be like the showers on the grass, as Paul put it, like the fragrance of life. but also the Lord calls us to be like a lion. The fragrance of death. There is opposition. There's even hatred. There's even a growing rejection that will no longer tolerate Christianity in the public space. In the end, they will be destroyed for their unbelief and for their rejection of the Lord. Shall we speak as God's people in the world, strong like lions, refreshing like dew, bringing our influence for Christ, our shepherd, who uses his people? Now, if this glorious picture of the shepherd king ruling the flock is in place, what must the flock be like? And they must be holy. So you find there in that last section of Micah 5, the Lord's purging work, it says there that in that day, the day of the reigning shepherd, there is this sort of relentless hammering home of how all those idolatrous rubbish is destroyed. The false securities and the false religions and beliefs. And really, the heart of idolatry his people have is simply this, that they lack contentment in his promises, in his word, his revelation. It just isn't enough. It's wanting to have control over their circumstances. Worshipping the Lord isn't enough, nor what he provides. They want more. And our tendency, sadly, is we can do the same. Do we try other things? Could some of the challenges we face today be the way the Lord is actually purging sin out of our lives so that he will have a pure, spotless people for the day of Christ? What is his bride going to be like? It's going to be a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy, blameless. Men, weren't our wives radiant on their wedding day? I mean, you and I had very little to do with that, men. Our job, if it was like me, my responsibility was to be there on time and wait. Now Christ is making his people. He brought to himself radiant. He's doing that. To be without stain or wrinkle. His loving work to purge, to cut off and pull up and rip apart and exterminate in order to make her holy. That we might be greedy for holiness. And he's doing that today. Let me ask you, has he started with you? Will you be numbered with them? Because I say this to you because Micah 5 doesn't end at verse 14. There's another verse, isn't there, in verse 15, where the Lord says, I will take vengeance in anger and wrath upon the nations, what does it say, that have not obeyed me. Justice will be done. He will put things right. It will come on all those in the last day who have not come hungering and thirsting for the Lord's words. And that's what Micah has been saying in the book. He is our shepherd king, coming out of Bethlehem from everlasting to everlasting. A shepherd for me, the Lord says. A shepherd who is our lasting security, who uses his people for influence in the world, who will have a holy people who are pure and blameless for himself. It is such a comforting picture. A shepherd given to rule in all your threats, over them all. Can you trust him? Completing his work in you. But has he begun? Are you trusting him today for your future? And are you trusting him that he'll use you in this world? Let's pray together. Father, we being cut to the heart again this morning, we thank you so much for the wonderful picture and faithful work of the eternal shepherd who came for the sheep. And so we pray, Father, take and use us. Help us to be like the dew and water on the grass, being like the lion to speak up. Lord, we know that your vengeance will come on everything that disobeys. And we pray, Lord, keep us secure, close to our shepherd. Thank you so much for these opportunities today. And Father, as we deal with the issues in our society, help us now, Lord, to speak the words that you would have us speak about the things that will honour your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.